Carrie and Tommy are locking 12 strangers in a room for 3 hours. One person will walk away with 20 grand cash. But only if they can convince enough people in that room that they deserve it the most. Will it be this person?
Hi everyone, it's Craig here, and I'll be jury number 6. Look, I might not deserve the money, but I need it. I'd love to go on a holiday and buy a car, and I'll do anything to make it happen. I'm prepared to lie, cheat, manipulate to win that 20K. This is my jurisdiction. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, Carrie and Tommy. Or do I?
Carrie and Tommy's Who Are You to Judge? Don't miss Judgment Day tomorrow.
Your whip about to get rockin'. Your smile about to be poppin'. Lit times for your drive, no maybes. Just yes, so release the stress.
Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, welcome to it for your Wednesday afternoon. How are we doing, guys?
Well, my gosh, I have never been more interested to start a show. Because,
why?
Because I just, as always, a customary, one minute before the show is going to air, I have a quick glance up at that whiteboard to see what we've got planned for the next 3 hours. And up first...
It would help if you came to the meeting. Yeah.
Yes, I know, but they're boring. And up next... Wow.
What's written on the board that's piqued your interest?
Carrie flirts with Julie Bishop.
That's not quite what we're going to talk about.
I always thought you two would be great together. I thought you and the J-Bish just touring around town. What a fun couple.
Actually, my friend did text me last night when we were on air saying my two favourite women next to each other.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's sweet. And? But no, we did. Well, I'll
she's
explain
newly single,
all
right?
Next.
She's newly single.
Yes, I'm not going after Julie Bishop.
Or are you? Find
we'll find
out.
Find out next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Wednesday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Oh so my gosh. I think I'm so tired at the moment that I'm perhaps not communicating properly.
So I think you didn't try and flirt with Julie Bishop?
I didn't try and flirt. In fact, I didn't try and flirt with anyone last night, yet Julie Bishop kind of accused me of flirting with someone. But then it's not the first time it's been happening lately, and none of it is coming from a place where I've even been – I think I've lost the art. I don't even know if I know how to flirt anymore. That's how non-flirtatious I'm being in both of these instances.
But they think you're flirting.
Well, so last night
– maybe you've mastered the art.
Last night we had Ty Verdes on the show.
Yes.
Known for this hit. Such a cool dude.
Such a cool dude.
Okay, stop singing, Carrie.
Too much flirting, mate.
Yeah.
You're a cool dude.
Anyway, we've been talking in the show about emojis, okay? And I was talking about the prayer emoji. Is it clap hand emoji or is it I'm praying for you emoji?
Yes.
Or is it thank you, right?
Yes.
And I thought, he's young and fun and cool.
A cool
he'll
dude.
He's a cool dude.
Yes.
So I simply asked him about that. Would you like to have a listen?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
You're meant to ask, am I sending people a high five or am I praying for them when I send them that emoji?
You know what? Surprise me.
Okay, sure.
You're about to slide into his DM.
No, I'm just...
I know what you're up to, Jules.
I love it.
Can I hear it again? Because I need to hear the phrasing of what you said.
Okay.
Because
nothing
either,
about what I said. Was...
Did you say when I send you? Because either you just said I is that emoji that, and then he said surprise me.
Exactly. I
but
did
hang
nothing.
On, I've got to hear the start. I've got to hear.
You're meant to ask. Am I sending people a high five or am I praying for them when
That's
I send them that emoji?
You've been so stitched up.
Haven't I?
Yes. You said when I'm sending people, and he went. Surprise me.
I know. But then I thought he mustn't have heard me properly.
You clumsy cougar that must fumble around your numbers over there.
And Julie's like, hey.
I know. And Julie's like, you're about to slide.
And I just wasn't.
DMs. All right, Jules, keep
Jules
it together.
Jules is the one that early in the program brought up the eggplant emoji. So if anyone's sliding into anyone's DMs, it's not me, okay?
But then because also I'm only hearing it. And maybe I wasn't in the room. And maybe you were doing a bit of... lingering eye work
okay, well,
or a
funny
bit of
you
lusty
eyes. Lingering eye work
yes.
Because this has happened in real life again. So on the weekend I was at a cafe and I saw a guy that I thought was one of our makeup artist's husbands, right?
Who you didn't even remember his name.
Yeah, I do know him, Ryan. And I saw him And my eyes lit up and I made that look of, oh, like I know you. Mm. He made eye contact with me and then my little brain went through a whole lot of processes of that's not him, I don't think. Is it? Is it not? And rather than having that conversation and thought while looking back at someone else, I stayed looking at him because I'm old and awkward. Anyway, he just kept smiling and then I turned away and I was like, I don't think that's him. That's not him. Anyway, I got my coffee and then I was like, but he does live around here. So then I looked back at him and he was looking at me again, right? And then
you triple take on this
okay,
man.
So then I left the coffee shop, got in my car, drove to the lights, and then I turned and he's facing out the window at the coffee shop and I'm sitting at the lights.
Oh my God,
I just happened to look at the coffee shop.
You got him again.
Clocked eyes with him again. Anyway, drove off thinking how awkward that man must be. Why is that woman staring at me? Came out of the gym this morning. Who's walking past the gym? That man! And I clocked eyes with him again!
Did you say hi?
No, because
you just did eyes.
I did my eyes.
Oh my gosh, you're having an affair.
With some random dude who's not the guy I think he is, who I think was there with his mum at a cafe.
How many times do you do eyes before you say hi to him?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say hi to him because then he's going to really think I'm interested.
Well, try saying goodbye. So try breaking up with this man and see if you can.
I've just got random awkward energy at the moment.
Do you think it's awkward? Because these guys seem to be old mate, buddy.
Ty.
He wasn't. Was he like, was just, surprise me.
He wasn't.
Go on, lady from the TV, surprise me. So maybe you're too good at flirting and you actually just don't know.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Maybe you don't know how to have a platonic conversation.
I do know how.
Let's play. This is fun. Yep. This is fun. 131060, men, give us a call. And Carrie, see if you can just not flirt with them.
I will just talk to them.
See, that's already sounding arousing. Give us a call, 131060, and see if it's possible for Carrie Bickmore to have a normal conversation with a man without hitting on him. Give us a call.
131060 is the number.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your Wednesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little and 131060.
We're just asking.
No, I'm not going to flirt with you.
Jesse, I'm sorry. That's slightly different. It is not if you want to flirt with Bickers. It's to see whether Bickers is capable of just keeping it in her pants and just having a platonic chat.
Okay, I have done nothing here. I asked Ty Verdes on the project about an emoji situation that I wanted cleared up, and then he was like, I don't know, surprise me. It was not, I did nothing weird. But
then Julie Bishop thought you were hitting on her.
And then there's a guy at the cafe that I thought was someone's husband I know, and so I perhaps stared at him longer than is reasonable.
Even when you know his wife. You still flirt.
And now I saw him again today and it's gotten awkward.
Anyway, so Bickers.
Yeah.
Can we learn to control the beast that is your...
I guarantee you, not one of these people is going to thing up into them.
So you didn't even say then that I'm not going to be into it.
I'm just going to hide it real well.
No, I'm not. I'm happy to chat to all of these people. I'm sure they're delightful. Nev. Hey, Nev.
Hello, Harry. I am delightful. Thank you very much.
Oh, don't put on that voice and think that's what's going to get me in.
No, I've got a bit of a cough at the moment, so I've got this voice going on.
Should get the doctor to see that, Nev. Get checked out.
Yep, for sure. I have been. Don't you worry.
It's Nev that's doing the weirdness.
I'm not doing anything weird. You're making me feel awkward.
See? Is that because she's hitting on you too hard, Nev?
It's because she's trying not too hard.
Yes. You know, doth protest too much.
Mm-hmm.
How's your day been, Nev?
Oh, keep it in. She's Bickers. I'm so sorry, Nev. You shouldn't have to put up with that. It's a professional workplace. Let's move on and see who we have next. Thank you, Nev. G'day, Jack.
Hi, Carrie. How's it going?
Well, that
I mean,
me,
Jack's but... way too young to, for me to even have this conversation. How old are you, Jack?
Young. I just heard you're a cougar. Not too young for you, Carrie. Don't worry about that.
Okay, what's happening here is the opposite of what it... Now there's just a whole bunch of creepy men talking to me.
Oh, you're projecting. You're projecting.
All I said...
Just have a chat.
What do you do, Jack, for a job?
I'm a sales rep.
You can't make a sales rep sound sexy, Jack.
So mean. I like it, though.
Okay. This is making me feel so weird.
Jack, did you feel like Carrie was hitting on you then?
100%.
Yeah, me too. Me too. You're two from two so far. You're outrageous. Let's see if there's one person that you just can't hit on. G'day, Josh.
G'day. How you going?
Yeah, good. Now, Josh, I'm going to pass you over to Carrie and just try and have a normal conversation with her. And then I'm sorry if you feel too violated, but good luck in the bear pit, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
G'day, Carrie. How you doing today?
Yeah, good. How's the fam?
Yeah, fam's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Are you busy this weekend?
I am, actually. I can't do this. Now I feel like I'm
Why was that awkward?
All of it's awkward.
Why?
I feel like I'm doing speed dating.
Oh, see? I told you. You think you are dating him.
Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and the listener app for your Wednesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God.
The Time Game Jackpots Weekly.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
When exactly 5 seconds is up. This week, the jackpot is up to...
$7,700.
Carrie and Tommy's Time Game.
Oh, man, Bickers, I have got a good feeling about this week.
Do you?
Yes.
Because we did it without you last week and we had a sudden panic. What if it went, like, if this is your game, what if it went off without you?
Did you do it without me?
Yeah, of course we did. I'm not going to let the people miss out on their cash just because you're gallivanting across the seas.
Was it fun?
I mean, yeah, it's always fun. Sorry, am I meant to say it wasn't fun?
Did you miss anything?
Not really. Great contestants. None of them got close, and that is why $7,700 today.
131060 is the number.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and the listener app, it's Carrie and Tommy for your drive home this afternoon.
Time, bo-bye, banana, banana, bo-bye, bee-bye, mo-bye, time game. Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Thank you. Oh, I forget. Was that Deborah that sings that? Anyway, g'day, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Tess. Bit of a delay on the line there. How are you, Terry?
No, sorry, it's Kerry.
Oh, it's Kerry. I have been stitched up.
Either
here.
Either way, though, Terry or Kerry, how many letters in your name?
Five.
Well, this is your lucky day, Kerry.
Yeah, I think so.
Kerry, when was the last time you won something?
I think it's been a couple of years so now. I think I'm pretty much due.
Yeah, great.
It's $7,000. $7,700 would be a nice little take-home prize, wouldn't it?
Yep.
And all you have to do is be one with time. Jesse is going to say start. You say stop. And if it stopped when exactly 5 seconds is up, the money is yours. Kerry, are you ready?
Ready.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh.
That felt a bit quick. But then Jesse, little ferret boy, looks like it was right on. He looks very happy.
Little ferret boy is so offensive.
He's a ferret.
Well, Jesse and the ferret are two different people, remember?
Yeah, you've never understood that bit. The ferret is actually not Jesse.
What do you mean?
It's really ruining the radio magic.
You lot want people to think the ferret is a separate person runs the time game.
You lot is us. It's me. And you were a team.
Sorry, Jesse, think that Ferret Boy thought that was good? Now I'm confusing myself.
G'day, Kerry.
Yep.
Kerry, how do you think you went?
I hope I've done well.
Let's see how you went.
4.83.
Oh, not too bad.
Not bad, but not good enough to win. Bailey, hello.
G'day.
How are you, Bailey?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. What's the most exciting thing that's happened in your day?
What was that, sorry?
Doesn't matter. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh.
Biggers.
I don't know whether I'm meant to talk to a ferret boy or not.
It's not a ferret boy. It's just a ferret. It's a fully grown ferret
but
capable.
Who's then, where's Jesse gone? Who's the guy wearing the ferret costume?
Who's Jesse? It's not a ferret costume. It's a ferret who we also happen to call Jesse.
Jesse, how did Bailey go? Oh, sorry, ferret. How did Bailey go?
5.53.
Oh.
See you, Bailey. I think all Bailey said with his whole time on radio was, hello? Sorry, what? Stop. That was it.
Ebony, are you ready to play?
I am.
Do people sing to you often?
Oh, no.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah. Why?
Ebony and Ivory.
Oh, why didn't you say that when we had Ivory on the show the other day? Ebony, are you ready?
I am.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh, felt a bit long for my liking, Ebony. What did you think? Okay.
Not sure.
Yeah. Is this a good mood for you, Ebony?
Oh, you seem very happy.
You sound flat, and I'm worried about you, Eb. I just want to give you the money.
Are you okay, Eb?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. How did Ebony go?
6.10.
That's not going to make the mood better. See ya.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
It's Robin.
What?
Robin. Robin. Uh oh. No, Robin's a monster. Not Robin. Get away from Robin. Oh, wow. You know, I don't know.
The time game.
I don't know. She called in using her TARDIS.
Or maybe that was just the sounds of the ferret on its little wheels.
You're still not quite sure where the ferret fits in, are you? G'day, Holly.
Hi.
Holly, do you understand what's happening?
I'm trying to. It's very difficult.
You and me both, Hol. But thank you for giving it your best. We're going to do our best in return. Are you ready to have a crack at the money?
I am.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh, I tell you what, Hol, for my money, that was right on my button. How did it feel for you?
Yep, good. Felt good. I forgot to count in my head. I think I've had too much coffee. Producers are saying we can try Robin again at some point.
Oh, I reckon I'm all right.
Jesse, how did Holly go?
6.37.
Oh.
Sorry, Hol.
Do we have time for one more? Can we go to Jimmy in Warwick Farm? I want to go to Jim. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, guys.
Well, Carrie is playing favourites, Jimmy.
Right, and write this ship, Jimmy. We're going to pass you over to Jesse. 5 seconds is all it's going to take for you to win $7,700. Are you ready?
Yep.
Great. Passing you over to Jesse now.
Start.
Stop.
He's kicked his ball.
Jesse or the ferret?
Mate, we'll talk about this during the week. Jimmy, I don't think you've won, but let's see anyway.
5.
Yeah. Oh, I could be wrong, Jim.
Point.
Oh, Jimmy.
9-4.
Nah, I was right. Oh. See you next week. What a fitting end.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your drive home this afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Tomorrow, Carrie and Tommy are locking 12 strangers in a room for 3 hours. One person will walk away with 20 grand cash. But only if they can convince enough people in that room that they deserve it the most. Carrie and Tommy's. Who are you to judge? Thanks to the Foxtel original drama series, The 12, now on Foxtel.
We are about to induct our final jury member.
Yes.
We have 11 lined up. Juror number 12, Jess, welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, you're up and about.
Yes.
I am. I'm very excited because I feel number 12, I think it's the best one. Can't get much better.
Do you think we were saving the best to last, Jess?
Absolutely. I think it was meant to be.
I mean, I agree, but it doesn't really matter what I think or what Carrie thinks. You've just got to convince the other
the other jurors that you are the one person that deserves to walk away with cash, or
because it's a majority. So you've all in the room got to work out who deserves it. You can't just all vote for yourselves, because then it's going to go to a listener listening in, Jess.
Yeah, and that's probably my worst fear. I think we need to work out something in relation to how everyone can vote for me. That's what I think we need to do.
And how do you think they can vote for you? Why do you think, Jess, you are the most deserving of the jurors?
So I have cystic fibrosis for my whole life, basically. I was born, like, diagnosed at birth. But they gave me 6 months to live a couple of years ago.
Yes. A couple of years ago, did you say, they gave you 6 months to live?
Yeah, so I am 28 this year. At 18, they gave me 6 months. So 10 years ago. And mind my French, but I fought really very, very effing hard to survive. And that's exactly what I did. But with that come a hefty price tag. So I had to spend $21,375 a month on medication to save my life.
Wow.
Give her the money, Carrie.
I mean, I would, but again, this is not up to us.
Sorry,
and this
I'd
is
be
the
bad
problem.
On the
jury. But if I
It'd
was one of these jury members, you would have it already, Jess, in your hot little hands. I understand, Jess, that you are now having a family of your own. Is that right?
I am. So since starting this medication, my husband and I were trying to have a baby for a long time. 3 months into the medication, we fell pregnant naturally, and I'm 25 weeks pregnant, so it's very exciting.
Wow.
That's amazing, Jess. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, it is very exciting.
Okay, so specifically, do you want the money to pay back some of the money you've spent over those years in keeping yourself alive?
Yeah, so we had to refinance the home loan. Because, like, my family home, because no one has that in spare change at home. So, you know, probably should give back some to mum and dad because they did help out a little bit. But the baby, like, babies are expensive, and I still have to pay for medication. Yes, it's at a reduced price now, but I still, like, I take about 15 tablets at breakfast, like, just at breakfast, not throughout the day. So I still have a lot of medical costs, and then, you know, with the baby on the way, check out the nursery. I think it's nice to be able to see what I did. I survived, and now I'm bringing in life. And, you know, it will be nice to have in my hands the money that, you know, it is just money, but I really do think I worked very hard for it, and I think I do deserve it.
Well, Jess, like I said, if I was in there, you'd already have the money. Of course, people are. Lying is an option that is available to them. Are you good at picking a liar?
I am. I'm actually a 000 emergency operator, so I deal with a lot of eccentric characters, and I have learnt very quickly when people are deceiving you to get what you want. I know how to read bodies, I know how to read the expressions, and I know when someone's voice changed when they're telling me a fib.
Oh, I love it.
Jess, best of luck. Like we said, it is out of our hands, but we hope you win, so best of luck.
Thank you so much, guys. I'm so thrilled for the opportunity, and I am hormonal and pregnant, so there's probably going to be a lot of tears, which might work in my favour.
Good on you, Jess. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
It's all happening tomorrow thanks to the brand new Foxtel original drama series, The 12, now on Foxtel.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, that is where you're at for your Wednesday afternoon.
My dad, your new best friend, joins the show later on. And your proposition for my father makes me feel slightly uncomfortable.
It was a funny idea at the time when I was sitting by myself with a glass of whiskey in hand.
Do you think he'll do
away.
It?
Do I think I'll do it or
no,
he'll do it?
I know you'll do it, but do you think he'll do it?
I'm not sure that I'll do it.
Oh.
Anyway, we'll find out later on. But up next... I mean, I used to think that scratching anywhere around your waist and then sniffing your fingers was the most disgusting thing I've seen anybody do in a workplace.
Yes, it is.
Something
or
that happened.
Or your dandruff. Scratch at your dandruff.
Anyway, something that happened in this very room, I think, is worse. We'll talk about it next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Web guy Eli has begrudgingly been brought forward to a microphone.
Yeah.
Because we work in, it's a cupboard.
Mm. It's a very small space.
It's an old stationary cupboard that's been turned into a radio studio. Yeah. And it's me in here, it's you in here, executive producer Sonda is in here, producer Annabelle, and web guy Eli. Hello, Eli.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Did you just wake up?
No, I'm very confused as to why I've been brought to this mic.
Mm.
I overheard Tommy saying something and he used the term gross, so yeah. I'm really
manky.
Pig? I use pig.
It's just disgusting.
What? I actually don't know.
So it's disgusting, and you know that this is coming from a person who yesterday ate a family chips and a roll with chips on it and a schnitzel, and I still think this is gross, bro.
What is it? I've consciously not been cutting my nails in here, so I know it's not that.
Oh, God, because that's disgusting. What? Oh.
You know the sound of nails pinging off? And I'm sure...
Oh, my God, I know what it is.
Oh, you know what it is?
No.
What do you have to say for yourself? Tell the people, what did you do? What did you do?
I flossed my teeth.
Yeah, and that's not flossing is a great thing. Dentists tell you to floss all the time. What did you do that's gross?
I left it on the bench.
Yeah.
Flossing in an open off, like just flossing here.
No one was in here.
There's no.
And I knew I was going to throw it out before you got in, but
well,
I forgot.
But
just because no one's in the room doesn't mean the rules are off. Like. Someone can't walk in and you've got your pants down. You're like, well, no one was in here. It's an empty room. What am I meant to do? Sit here and be civil? What else are you doing?
Nothing. That's it. That's the only thing.
Isn't it funny that something that everybody should do and is recommended for health purposes can quickly go from being a really good thing to a disgusting, gross, you gross human thing?
No, all the things you should do for health purposes are disgusting. Like, you're meant to get...
prostate checks.
Yes. Eli, the room was empty.
And where's the doctor? But you know what? I don't think you're alone. I think every office has a manky man in it.
Oh,
somebody that's doing
manky
stuff
man.
That they shouldn't be. I want to know, 131060, are you the manky man at work? Manky woman. Manky man, but manky man sounds better.
Yeah,
are you doing stuff at work you shouldn't be doing? You know you shouldn't be doing it, and everyone else hates it. 131060.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And on 131060, gross people in your office.
No, are you the manky man at work?
Yeah.
Well, is what I want to know.
Took all the fun language out of it. We're looking for manky man.
Are you the one like our web guy Eli who left his floss on the desk at work?
Yes, and he said it was because no one was in the room at the time, so it was okay. Which
and
makes
he still
me wonder
not removed it.
What else he's doing in this room?
I know.
When no one's in here.
Oh, Namra, are you the manky man at work?
Oh no, but the place I used to work at, there was a manky man, and yeah, it was disgusting. He used to trim his toenails and his fingernails, and then sometimes you'd hear the pinging, and it was disgusting.
Oh, it's actually making bile rise in my throat.
Yeah, I know. And then
how close to people would he do it?
I used to work in a call centre, so we're all pretty like close proximity. So I used to sit 3 desks away from him, which was gross, so I could hear everything.
Nothing would fling into your little compartment.
Well, I was
going to
ask, is 3 desks far enough, Namra, that you're in the safe zone?
No.
Or can a toenail ping across 3 desks?
Well, I'm pretty sure it could, but it was lucky because I used to sit to the left of him, but he would always turn to his right. So it was the people on the right that were in danger, so it was fine. So I was fine. But then he also used to clean his ears. So he used to have a little bucket of like personal care. Or he would take out like the roll-on deodorant and then like start going at his armpits with that. But then I don't think it did anything because you could smell him.
And
then he'd pick on his beard hair as well.
Namra,
I'm never going to be able to eat again, Namra.
Imagine there's this bloke sitting there in an office and we're listening to this and he's clipping his toenails and he's like, I wonder if Namra's talking about me. Nah, it won't be me. And then he goes to he cleans his ears. He's like,
Tash, can you top that?
Yeah, I can.
Hey, who's the manky man?
Oh, it's actually a manky female that is really disgusting in our office.
Okay, what's she do?
So she does two things that are so annoying. So she'll go into the female toilets and do whatever she's doing, and then she'll unlock the door and then wash her hands and come out. So she retouches the door.
Before she's washed her hands.
What?
So she'll unlock it before she's washed her hands, then she'll wash her hands, and then she'll open the door and come out, which is just...
Tash, I've got two quick questions for you. The first is, how do you know this?
Because it's right near the kitchenette where we can make a cup of tea.
The office designer is the manky person.
So that's the first thing. What else does she do, Tash?
And then if there is a female in the female's toilet, she just goes into the men's and uses the men's.
I mean, I think that we should just be able to do that, to be honest.
Not in this men's toilet, no.
Isn't that more just her willing to be even more manky? Like, is it, I mean, I guess that's the point, isn't it, manky woman?
Oh, she wants to be a manky man. Yeah.
She wants to be a manky man.
Well, she at least wants to have the option of being a manky man. So she can. Okay, good on you, Tash. Thank you. G'day, Jono.
Hello.
Who's the manky man?
A guy I used to work with. Luckily enough, I wasn't there when it happened, but I heard about it. A baker at a supermarket.
Yeah.
did his business in one of the drains.
What?
Hang on. Hang on.
This at least it's not into the bread. I was worried for a moment.
Hang on. Which business? Is this manky man or is this wanky man? Which one have can we not say?
Oh, my gosh.
I will say it's not what you're...
Okay. Are we out?
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
On your radio, Zan, the listener app for your drive home, Asabo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I love my dad more than anything.
Mm.
Great man. But
the great man.
The suggestion or the proposal you want to put to him about something you want him to do and something you're prepared to do is insane, and there's no way he's going to do it.
You don't reckon?
Well, I don't think he will.
I reckon he will.
We will find out whether he is a willing participant next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
You drive home this afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
So yesterday on the show, we were talking about twins and how there's a rumour that one twin as babies gets a tattoo behind their ear so that parents can tell the difference between twins.
Yes.
And we were doing calls on that. And my dad is a twin and I'm pretty sure he doesn't have a tattoo behind his ear.
No ink, full stop?
No, well, I don't think so. And I text him mid-show to say, hey, Dad, would you ever get a tat? Because he doesn't strike me as a tattoo man.
I reckon he'd look great with a tat, Brian.
He'd look great with a tat.
Yep.
Anyway, he was very sweet. He wrote back, perhaps if it started with a C, ended with an E and had a double R in the middle, my name. Yeah, great. His daughter.
My name.
Just in case you couldn't work it out.
People in their car are quickly trying to unscramble the
letters. Is there any other words that have probably not?
Yeah, correspondence.
Oh, he's going to get correspondence tattooed on him.
Carriage.
Oh, carriage.
Mm-hmm.
He could get it in his under. Anyway. but he then said, or maybe AEO, Adelaide, Evie and Oliver, which is very similar to my tat. And it would be weird if my dad and Chris and I had matching tats. But
that's not weird at all.
To have matching tats with your dad.
I've got matching. I just realised I have a matching tattoo with a father and a son who I met on a Bucks party. Yeah. Yeah.
Of what?
Now, this on my leg. That one on my leg.
That one of the, what do you call that?
That game we played in high school where people like poke a finger through the hole. Anyway, that.
Why did you get it with a father and a son?
Now, it seemed like, because we were getting tattoos and it seemed fun, and now I realise I think it was probably more just a father and son thing.
Of course it was just a father and son thing. Did they know you?
Work on the day, yeah.
Oh, my God. So now there's a poor father and son were having this amazing moment, and now that moment had Tommy Little in it.
Yep. Anyway.
Anyway, last night you text me an idea that is absolutely ridiculous.
I think it's great.
But it did make me a little bit excited, and I thought, why not put this proposition that you've come up to about tattoos to my father himself, and we are going to do that next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And not just us, it's my dad, Brian, on the phone too. Hey, Dad.
How you going, Dad?
Good.
G'day, Brian.
We're talking tats.
Hey, Tommy.
First question first. Have you heard of the idea that that twins get a tattoo behind one ear, one twin, so that they're as a baby, so their parents can tell them apart? Because you're a twin.
No.
Okay. So you don't currently have a tat anywhere.
No.
Although, Brian, to be fair, have you ever seen behind your own ear?
No. I might have actually seen once, but that'd be it.
I know my Nana and Papa. They weren't a tattooing kind of family. Okay. You know?
Okay. Sure.
Elva and Norm.
I mean, I'd probably put Go Crows behind it, but I wouldn't put anything else.
Go Crows. No. Have you ever considered getting a tattoo?
You know what? 5 years ago, I wouldn't have. But now, as long as it was, you know, probably restricted family members, I would. Without thinking about it.
If I was asked to do it.
And my money went to the spinal raising, then I'd do that.
Oh, Dad. Right. Well, that's sweet. Well, because Tommy, it was
just a joke.
By the way. No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
That is a proviso. Yeah.
No, it really doesn't. You're giving that face. You've got full tattooed arms. Dad's not getting a full tattered arm. He's just getting a little tat. And speaking from experience, and
can I revoke this agreement at any time? I should say that. I may revoke the agreement at any time, of course.
Tommy came up with an idea last night that I laughed at. But then I thought, I mean, you know what? I can't speak on your behalf. I'm going to let you speak for yourself. Tommy, what is your idea for my dad, Brian?
Brian, you strongly insinuated that the only tattoo you would get would be the word carry. Do you agree so far?
Yes. Again, I will revoke anything I agree to do, of course, at some time in the future. But keep going, Tommy.
I thought as a little deal sweetener.
Now that I think he's thinking about what you're going to suggest it to him, I'm not sure how he wins out of this. But anyway.
I'm so scared at this point. Oh, my God.
He gets advertising for life. Brian, so if you were to get Carrie tattooed on you, I would get Brian tattooed on me.
Oh, my God. Hey, listen, here's something just on this, right? Because every letter I ever get is addressed to Brain. So you'd want to be careful. You spell that incorrect.
Brain.
Why would you get my dad's name tattooed on your body?
Well, why is Brian getting your name tattooed?
Because I'm his daughter.
Yeah, and he's my friend.
But, like, lifelong friends.
I mean,
does that mean I
have to be the best man at your wedding and do crap like that? Or no,
you'll never have to do that because it's not going to happen. Can you imagine my dad is your best man?
Godfather. Oh, my God.
That's actually quite funny.
Brian, where are the rings? Where are the rings?
I reckon the bucks would be pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, Dad would organise a great bucks.
Same.
So would you genuinely consider getting a tattoo, Dad?
You know, I'm not quite sure whether this reason is dramatically convincing, but it wouldn't worry me. It would have worried me 5 years ago. I don't think it would worry me now, but again, it would be pretty restrictive what I'd do.
Where would you do it? Where would you put it?
I think it'd have to be on the feet somewhere, probably.
On the feet? Well, they do hurt more. They're aren't they, Tommy, the worst place to get one?
Brian, the throat is meant to be the area that hurts the least.
Let me ask you this question. When you get one, do you continually just look down and go, oh, shit?
Yeah. To be honest, every tattoo I've got, almost immediately I've regretted it.
Yeah, I wish I got the one I got on my ankle. I wish I got on my wrist. I do regret its placement.
When I look down and see the beautiful word Brian.
Would you get Brian tattooed?
Wherever Brian wanted
him. Dad can pick where you get it done.
Where do you want me to get your name?
Oh, my God. I reckon I know a number of people who have a suggestion for you, but I can't say that on radio.
What if I came with you? Would you get – I mean, you don't have to get my name. You could get the kids' names or something.
Yeah.
But don't do this for radio. Have a think about this in real life.
Right? I'd only choose people who aren't going to hate me in 5 years. Now, that might mean that I'll get the kids' name rather than yours.
All right.
Okay,
well, it looks like you might be getting a Brian tattoo.
Oh, can I get the kids' names as well?
Don't, that's starting to get weird.
Would you like my year 12 results as well?
All right, Dad, we're going to work behind the scenes, and you and I have a date at a tattoo parlor soon.
If it means seeing you, darling, I'll do it.
Oh.
It's quite rare, as you know.
Thanks, Brian.
You just spent 3 months with me on my family holiday. We've had a lot of time together.
I saw more of Tommy than I saw of you.
Bye, Dad.
Thanks, Brian.
See you guys.
Carrie and Tommy.
That is where you're at for your Wednesday afternoon. The very funny Sean McAuliffe joining us up next.
Later in the show, we induct our final jury member. Judgment Day is tomorrow. $20,000 up for grabs if the jury, locked in a room for 3 hours, can decide who gets the cash.
That's all they've got to do. They just got to agree that one of them walks away with 20 grand and 11 walk away with nothing.
That sounds so easy, and it will not be.
I can't see there possibly being a problem with 11 people going, that's fine, we'll walk away with nothing and you take $20,000.
But the thing is, if they can't reach a consensus,
then what happens, Beckers?
20K for whoever calls in. So tomorrow, $20,000 will be on the line and someone will be 20 grand richer.
Yeah.
Carrie and Tommy.
If you drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Oh, we've nabbed him back to Channel 10. I'm talking about the one and only Sean McAuliffe. His brain is dead for premieres tonight, 7:30 on 10. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Tommy. Yes, 10 years it's taken to snare me, but I am back. I'm very happy to be back too.
Am I going to learn how much dumber I am than Year 11 students tonight?
Well, I see. I don't know how much you know about your dumbness, so I can't measure that. I don't know.
Talk to us about the show. How does this work?
Well, I was surprised. I mean, I was surprised at how little I knew. I went in thinking, oh, well, I'm a reasonably intelligent person, I thought. But really, I don't know anything apart from what's on the card with the question on it. I feel like Tom Gleason, you know, I really don't know anything about, apart from what's in italics at the bottom of that card. But we have two teams of three students, although they can sub somebody in if they don't know the answer to a particular, or they feel like they're a bit weak on a particular subject. And all the questions come from the Year 11 curriculum. And the reason we picked Year 11 was because Year 12's are kind of busy, you know. We asked them. They said, "Look, no, we
kind
actually
kind of busy.
we have a serious real exam coming up, you know, a number of them, and that will affect the rest of our lives. So, no, thank you." So we decided to go for Year 11s, who really aren't aware that it's an important year and are happy to waste their time.
So I'm confused, Sean, which is a bad sign for how I'm going to go playing along at home. But so the questions are from Year 11, but are the contestants Year 11s?
Oh, yes. No, it's not like Rove's. It's not like Rove's show.
It's not like Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? No,
it's actual contest. So they will know stuff because they're studying it. So there's not much chance of them getting it wrong, I think, you know. So it's a question of who's fastest, who is the smartest and who is the fastest. And at the end of the it runs 10 weeks, and it's a kind of round-robin thing. And at the end, there's a final between the two highest-scoring schools, and they win nothing. Nothing at all.
That's good. They win nothing. And I'm assuming for the students who perform really badly, you encourage them to leave school and pick up a trade?
They're held back a year, so if we have a season two, we get to see them again.
You've had kids go through high school semi-recently. What kind of a dad are you to teenagers? I only ask because I have a near 15-year-old, and I'm trying to decide now what parenting technique I'm going with. Late in the piece to make that decision, I realise. But are you a tough dad, like work hard, make them study? Are you a chill dad? What are you like?
I just stayed out of the way. I think when 15 is a dangerous age, and I think, and you get judged terribly, Carrie. So I would advise you just to make yourself scarce as much as possible, and then come back in a couple of years and see what's happened to them.
I mean, that's easy. I could do that. I like that style.
Yeah, I mean, I actually tried that pretty young. In fact, I remember coming home. We have three boys, and the youngest was, you know, youngest is now 19. But when he was about 5, I came home, pulled up in the driveway and saw him riding a bike down the footpath. And I thought, well, who taught him that? He just seemed... I went inside. I said to my wife, did you teach him how to ride a bike? You know, I'd like to be here for those moments. She said, no, I didn't even know I had a bike. And we went out there and he was riding around by himself. He's basically brought himself up.
fabulous.
Sean, obviously the well-worn cliche of teenagers and the ones that are going to be on your show is they're obsessed with devices and don't know how to communicate with anything that's not digital. Have you been impressed with the people that you've come across?
Well, we probably weren't very fair to them. We said that there are no devices, so their phones were confiscated when they came in, so they couldn't use them and talk to anybody. And then we gave them, for the maths round, we gave them a slate with a piece of chalk. So we kind of,
they didn't even know what that was, did they?
No, they you know, tried to eat the chalk, obviously, for a while. I think in the end we compromised, and there's a kind of whiteboard with a non-permanent marker. But yes, no, we deliberately went retro a little bit in terms of the look of it. Having said that, there are a couple of questions that require them to look at a monitor, and I think they're more at home doing that than looking at me.
Yes. Hey, before we let you go, you have announced Mad as Hell finishing up after its 15th season. Incredible run. Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
But I was surprised. Is it true that it's going to continue on without you? I can't even imagine that. Who are you thinking to fill your shoes?
Well, we have such a good group. I mean, after 10, it's 11 years now. So after that many seasons and that many years, we've got a pretty solid sort of crew, and the writing staff and the producers are great, and the cast is just fantastic. I mean, they could all probably go off and make their own shows. We could probably make 10 shows, you know, using the talent we have here. But I did probably, you know, I thought, oh, it'd be nice if it continued, you know, and I could continue to draw a hefty executive producer's fee basically by doing nothing. But we'll take a year off. We'll see whether I can convince the ABC to fall in with my plan.
Okay, good. Well, we watch this space. Brainest Ever premieres tonight, 7:30 on Channel 10 and 10 Play. Sean, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, Tommy.
Now that the show's finished, don't be sad. You can get more Carrie and Tommy anytime you like. Just download and sign up to the Listener app. It's the new home of Carrie and Tommy.